Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, September 3rd, 2021. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. Hey, yo, Kansas City, be careful. Good God. That's legit one of the worst rainstorms I've driven through. We got people pulled over on the side of the road. We got a terrible wreck off of 69 and 103rd, so hopefully everyone's okay there. But man, oh man, you couldn't go. You couldn't go above 40 or so without, so if you're out there, be careful. Hopefully it's done. I mean, you got... Visibility was nothing there for a while, so be safe. Be safe. Some ugly weather to drive in, especially on the highway. So we get through that, and hopefully everyone have a good Friday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Had some college football last night. Ohio State down at the half. Minnesota pretty much implodes in the third quarter, and they kind of gave the game away there. They hung in until the end. It was a good game. But at the end of the day, Ohio State favored by 14, and they win by 14, 45-31. It was all right there for Minnesota to cover, and they couldn't do it. They could have won the game, but like I said, just fell apart for a stretch in the third quarter, and they could really never quite recover. When the running back was having a fantastic night, it looked like it was pretty clear, at least from the video I saw, that he ruptured his Achilles. 30 carries, 163 yards, 2 touchdowns. That was not pretty. I feel terrible for that kid.
No.
Yeah, you do. Why not?
No, it wasn't pretty, I mean.
Well.
He was breaking a tackle again, too. He was about to break another big runoff. And he just, looked like he tripped and fell. That was sad.
Did you watch the replay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, it was in the third quarter, too. He's well on his way to at least probably a couple hundred yards, but Minnesota just made too many mistakes in the third quarter, gave up some big plays, gave up Ohio State had a couple of touchdowns over 70 yards. So, too much Ohio State had a 70-yard receiving touchdown, had a 71-yard touchdown, had a 61-yard completion. Just too many big plays for Minnesota to pull off the upset. And so Ohio State wins. Fun game, though. And it was Gus Johnson. Now, we do have a couple of clips that we're going to play a little bit later that I'll get into the hands of Jake Gutierrez. Because I don't know. How would you describe Gus? You've worked with him, Jake. You would know him best between the three of us. We just hear the excitement. He brings a certain level of excitement that others don't bring. I don't know if he brings a certain level of preparation that others bring, but certainly the excitement and the energy, those are things that he does bring, right? We've talked about how we're excited that he's going to work with Aqib Talib for 6 or 7 games this year on Fox in the NFL. But what would...
Ball of energy?
Right?
He's a very enthusiastic guy. I mean, he turns it on for the show, but he has that. He's very fiery.
Enthusiasm's good.
Yeah, no, I mean, like in the meetings, he's intense. He's got an intensity, but he's a fun guy. I mean, I enjoyed my time working with him. He's not real uptight.
I'm happy to hear that. I didn't want to hear this guy is nothing like he is on.
Dials it up.
You have to. If he walked around that way all the time, he'd never.
But he is, there's an intensity to him, but it's not like, not a negative intensity. He wants everybody around him to have fun. I think that's, I mean, I took that away from, I worked the 2008 NCAA tournament with him. We did the first two rounds out in, I believe we were in Colorado, in Denver maybe. And then we did the regional in Denver, or not Denver, in Detroit. That's where KU and Davidson, he called that game. And so I did that tournament with him, and I did, I've done some other college basketball games, and I only did a handful of NFL football games with him. But I enjoy my time around him. He's a fun guy to be around. He seems like he's a pretty hard worker when it comes to college athletics. And NFL, he kind of, I wouldn't say he...
He lets the action do the talking.
He does. Way. He does. I mean,
he lets the coaches prepare.
I think...
yeah. That was a good lie. The coaches will handle that part.
Yeah, right. No,
we're here to have some fun.
No, there's just a lot more players involved.
Right, but I... Is there?
Seems like more in college, there's a hell of a lot more players in college to have to deal with.
In college, like college basketball, I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like last night.
I never worked in college football games with him.
Well, so, I DM'd you a couple of short clips.
All right, I'll grab them.
I'd like you to try, let me hear. So I got the right people to bounce these off of. I got a guy that worked with Gus Johnson a few times, and then you're a play-by-play guy. And so you could tell me, you can critique. I know you don't like to critique other play-by-play guys because you don't want to be critiqued. But sometimes you got to, it's, hey, you pick and choose some things maybe you could take away from other play-by-play guys.
I definitely like to do that. Listen to the guys.
Or listen and say, hey, I don't want to do that. Yeah, or right. They can help you. And so there were a couple of points last night where he said something. And what did he just say? And so then I had to go back, and then I immediately take to Twitter, and I see, everyone else is wondering what Gus just said. Like, what the hell was that about? So do you know what I'm going to bring up here?
No.
Okay, so don't look for it, because I just want you to hear it fresh. And then I want you to tell me you're watching this. I mean, I don't know. So like, one comment caused me to take to, the internet, like, well, I got to look more up about this thing. And other people did, too, so there's a couple articles in it. It actually shined the light on a really interesting story. But at the time, I didn't know what he was talking about. What is this? And then the other one, boy, I don't know. I don't know. Let's save the vanilla one for last. We'll go with the Ohio State defensive touchdown first.
And then big scoop and score.
Yeah.
Big man touchdown. Well,
you saw that.
I didn't have the volume on.
Okay.
I was watching. I had it on camera 2 in my house.
Okay,
so
I didn't
have the volume on for
camera
most
2.
Of the game.
What?
You know, the main camera, main channel, main TV I had was camera 1.
I don't know.
What I call it.
I don't know what that means. You got that? It's a very exciting play, right? This is part of Minnesota falling apart. And just kind of handing the keys and the car over to Ohio State. Okay, let's...
Got a better ball security from that quarterback.
But you didn't hear the call, so you don't explain. It's an exciting call. But that's an exciting play, right?
Of course, and I'm sure Gus Johnson was going nuts.
Yeah. You know, a strip. And so if people don't know, Minnesota, Ohio State gets a sack, the strip, the ball then ricochets off a Minnesota offensive lineman right into the hands of an Ohio State defensive lineman, and then he takes it to the house.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Gus Johnson on that play. Jake's working feverishly on it right now.
It's I always love the big guy touchdown. Always love the big guy touchdown.
Okay.
Here's a young man that was shot in the face last year trying to break up a domestic dispute.
He just kind of threw that like what?
The guy that was kicking the extra point?
No, the guy. I think the touchdown. Like I don't like with no context. Didn't really give any bet. You know, just out of nowhere, an exciting call. Like, what did he just say?
Man,
like what? Because like you're just watching the football game.
Yeah.
Like, what did he just? You know, he gives like a little bit of that. You know, Gus. You know,
here's a young man that was shot in the face. And like,
yeah, like the way he said it.
Right,
was,
right. The way he said it was like, you know, here's a young man that scored a touchdown last year. You know, yeah. And you're like, it's no
man
matter.
That was All-State in three right. sports.
Clearly, the young man's okay because he just scored a touchdown, right?
Right. Right.
Goes, here's a young man that was shot in the face last. Like, what is he? So then you go and then you go and look. So they okay, I gotta go look. Right,
right, right.
Where's my internet at? And so Haskell Garrett, the fifth-year defensive lineman, recovered a fumble in the third quarter and returned it 32 yards for a touchdown to put the Buckeyes up 31-21. The play came almost a year to the day after Garrett was shot in the face, attempting to break up a fight in Columbus, Ohio. And then 2 months after the incident, he made it back to the field. And then, he played last season, was an All-American. But he tried to break up a fight August 30th, 2020. And so, and the man shot him in the face. The bullet went through one cheek and then the other. And so, it didn't happen. So it's kind of a weird thing to break because it didn't happen
a little out of,
in the offseason. Yeah. He played a whole season.
Yeah.
And so I would think after he played the whole season at an All-American level, then maybe now at this point you could say, hey, this young man was an All-American last year, and he just came up with the biggest play of the night. Because it's been a little bit of time. I don't know. But
I found the actual call if you want to hear that.
Do I?
I don't know.
Haskell the Rascal, right?
Do you want to hear it? It
sure.
was just bizarre. And
yeah.
But I was great. But I guess then
here, it's not
it leads
the
you
point.
To.
This is the actual play.
Okay, there we go.
Play fake. Morgan in trouble. Stripped. Loose. Picked up. Ohio State's got it. Touchdown, Haskell the Rascal.
Yeah.
Garrett. Buckeyes come up with the huge turnover.
That's a good call. That's a big, big, big play in the game. A big moment.
Pressure was an issue a year ago.
So, yeah.
So then he,
Yeah, and then they had the extra point, and this is.
They show him on the sideline or something?
Right. Well, this wasn't his first game back from the recovery. He played all last year, so I feel like.
The extra point goes up.
Right.
Snap.
Here's a young man that was shot in the face last year. Trying to break up a domestic dispute.
So it's kind of a weird drop in. I mean, right? I mean, like it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what I'm doing is I'm over here, I'm watching and I'm talking to other girls and doing some stuff and what did he just say? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's look
so,
that up.
So like when you're doing play by play for a sporting event, a lot of people probably know this, but maybe a lot of people don't. You put together these things called spotting boards, right?
Yes.
Where you've got like on football, you'd have like almost like a map of where the players are. Your defensive lineman at the top of the board, your linebackers right below them, your just safeties where they line up basically on the field, and you've got their numbers, their names, their weight, all the information, and you usually write little nuggets down on each guy. Yeah, three-time All-American.
Yeah, I think we're at a point where maybe we lose it. But then again, I didn't know about that story, and so by Gus dropping that in from the extra point, I said, okay, I looked it up. Well, it's a hell of a story.
That sounds to me like
more of a
sideline hit or something.
There's a young man that was shot in the face, and now the extra point is good.
Right,
nothing.
Like,
what are you doing in there? What are you doing? I don't need that from you, Jake. So let's move on to the next one.
Okay, all right.
So now this is him throwing it down to the sideline reporter.
Okay.
You ever do that when you're called? You throw
it. Oh, of course.
Give me a...
Like Alec Trost.
Throw it to Alec Trost.
Sometimes I have something to...
Come on.
17th minute at Children's Mercy Park. It's 1-1 for Moore and Roger Espinosa. Let's go down to Alec.
That didn't sound genuine. Just, I wanted you to be in the booth. That was Nate. Yeah, that happened.
Oh, that one good?
Yeah, you half-assed it. Come on.
Was that really half-assed?
Yeah, kind of.
All right.
Well, yeah.
All right.
There. That's, clear your throat at least.
17th minute at Children's Mercy Park. It's 1-1 between Sporting and LAFC. For more on Roger Espinosa, let's go down to Alley.
That's what I asked
for. There. That's it.
That's what I asked. Is that what I asked for or not?
The first one was
Alley. So.
Yeah, you can throw it down to Alley.
Tell me what you think about this interaction with the sideline reporter.
Okay.
You haven't heard this, right?
I know I have not.
Okay, all right, good.
wet down there, Parker. You know what they say. Vanilla belts when it gets wet.
Oh, man. Come on. Week one already, brother? Week one?
Is that what they say? I've not heard that one. He threw it down to a sideline reporter.
Was it Jenny Taft
raining.
That was doing the sideline?
No,
right?
it was a man.
Oh, okay. It was another. Okay.
It sounded like calling him Parker, but I swear this is Rob Stone.
I don't know.
That was Rob Stone talking there.
No, like he calls him Parker,
what?
Though,
just
right?
Don't worry about what he calls him.
No, but like, because when he said that first, I'm like, I'm looking at
a
picture.
Let's hear it. Play that again.
Wet down there, Parker. You know what they say.
Partner.
Vanilla belts when it gets wet.
Oh, man. Come on. Week one already? Week one?
I had not heard that phrase before.
Then I run to Twitter. I go, what did he just say? And then several people tweeted, hey, Gus, that's not what they say. But he says that's what they, I mean, you know.
Who says?
Yeah, I guess that's the question.
What did he say, Jay?
Yeah,
he said, you know what they say?
I don't.
He said, what? Vanilla, you know, vanilla melts when it gets wet.
Does it?
Because he was in the rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I guess vanilla ice cream.
Well, any ice cream, though.
Yeah, I mean, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's not...
Mint chocolate chip ice cream. Probably
I'll be the first
well.
To tell you. So I don't have. I don't always
I remember,
know everything that people say.
My mom used to get the ice cream scooper. She'd get it wet before
right, sure.
She'd dig it into the ice.
But
cream
But have you
and
heard
scoop
that before? Have you heard that saying?
Not vanilla particularly. And he didn't say ice cream. He just said vanilla melt.
He loved it.
Like
he laughed at his own. He loved it. You know. Listen to him laugh at
got
it.
Got it.
He really. And so then again, I'm gonna go. Hold on. Wait a minute. I got girls. I got to check. I go to Twitter and see what.
Right. He didn't say vanilla ice cream. Right? He just said vanilla.
So Gus was in it last night.
Wet down there, Parker. You know what they say. Vanilla belts when it gets wet.
Oh, man. Come on. Week one already?
You can't wait to laugh.
Week one.
And then they're all going like, week one? Really?
Seriously,
and
this is how we're starting the season,
yeah,
huh?
It is.
So just,
yeah.
What do you say?
Season four.
For Gusism.
It keeps you interested.
Maybe that's
like,
what they'll say now.
Ooh. Yeah.
They, I don't know.
I don't
then
think
I could start saying
will,
it.
Will you?
No,
you
heard, no. No I'm not going to say
that. Is that something you would say?
I don't think so.
Does it? I mean, I don't know. Jake?
No,
that's the full Gus
Johnson
confused,
experience. Because I love vanilla, but like the flavor of vanilla, like my point.
Well, you know what they say.
I
don't
put
you?
Vanilla oat milk in my coffee.
Yeah, it'll melt out in the rain.
But like vanilla, the flavor, or I mean, I am.
The point is, it keeps
cream,
you on
right?
It keeps you on your toes.
Yes, it
when
does.
when you're watching a game that's called by Gus Johnson.
The Gus
maybe
bus.
You take anything away from that? You said you take things away from tips.
I'm going to stay away from that.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, typically when you're like cooking, you can buy vanilla in liquid form.
Right.
You know?
What about when it's raining?
Extract.
You could do
vanilla
that.
Vanilla
that.
Extract. Yeah. Because right. It's a plant or something. Right?
Tell you, like, you can do, hey, tell you what, Ollie.
Vanilla bean.
You know what
it's
they
a
say.
Bean. They extract the oil from the bean.
Yeah. That's
like
right.
If it's raining, next time it's raining in a sporting game, you could do that.
Go down to Ollie Church. Yeah. You know what they say.
You know what they say, Ollie. Vanilla
melts
in the rain.
I don't think so.
Yeah. You're missing out.
Well, you know what?
Right. It's a golden opportunity.
You're probably right. There are some things from Gus's, you know, repertoire that I'd like to emulate, but that's probably not one of them.
Nobody enjoyed
got,
him saying that more than
speed.
More than Gus. Because as soon as Gus said it, yeah.
Yeah.
So you know he'd been waiting on that one.
Right.
Well.
I think they say when it comes to a joke, it only matters if you think it's funny. Right.
Right.
I think that's what they
said. Is that right?
And then you had Minnesota plus 14.
Yeah, I did. I wish it was 14 and a half.
Well, it wasn't.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought the line might move. So
push
I mean,
there, huh?
I kept my eye on it. Yeah, push.
I felt real good about it.
I was going to hop on it if it went to 14 and a half. I was going to double down.
All those big plays in the second half.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Right. I was rooting for Minnesota, so I didn't like that.
Yeah, me too.
Not that I really care, but I like upsets. You know that.
Yeah, you don't want to cheer for Goliath in college
football.
No
one really likes Ohio State around here, right?
Well, I don't know anyone that does.
No.
Who does?
I don't.
Well. All right. So in case you missed that football game last night, hopefully that's a good recap for you.
Apparently
that is good.
Got shot in the face.
Right, a lot of things happen.
And vanilla melts when it gets wet.
Right.
So.
And it was a push.
Entertaining. Push. Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought I was sitting pretty going into halftime.
Oh, so did I. You felt good. I mean, even out of halftime, it felt, you know, they're trading blows.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just the big play. But really, the they could not overcome the strip sack and fumble return for a touchdown. That was the...
Haskell the Rascal.
Right, Haskell the Rascal, who quickly learned about his history, and then guess what went on from there. So,
well, hey,
there it is.
I have to say, like, that story is one of the most interesting things about that guy.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, it's like, you know, you...
But I feel like it's there maybe is a better way to drop that on the listener.
Yeah.
You know, Ohio State people, Big Ten people don't... Did you guys know that already?
Nope.
I didn't know that.
No.
You know, maybe, you know, yeah. But it was exciting, and it seemed like, you know, I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
You kind of jammed it in there.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, that's
you. Maybe
the thing.
Later on,
yeah,
you,
no,
well, you know,
there was nothing organic about that drop in.
So I remember when I was...
He had that on his board, and he was dying to get it in.
That's the thing. Is you get tempted to do that a lot as a play-by-play guy. You got all this preparation, and you want to use it, you know? And I remember, like, when I was doing...
got to be good timing. Though,
yeah, right? That's right. Like, yeah. There was a... Yeah. I was doing a Jamaica game for Fox about a month ago, and there was a player for Jamaica whose dad had been murdered, like, in the street.
I feel like we need to break.
And,
yeah, we got to go.
And he...
Did you bring that in after he made a nice tackle? Oh, great tackle!
Well, that was the thing. I read this fascinating article about this guy, and it was fascinating. Like, he at first was going to seek out retribution and try to, like, get revenge against the guy that had killed his dad. And then, like, he had a couple people in his life that pulled him away and said, look, man, you're going to make a lot of money playing soccer. You're going to have a great life. You don't do this. You're going to end up in jail for the rest of your life. And they convinced him. And now he's like, you know.
Yeah, that shouldn't be part of a goal call or anything.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's a fascinating story, but like, you don't really, how do you work that into a game?
You probably don't.
You don't.
I'm still
right?
pissed off at him because I had a perfect goal call for him. Because there was a bar that I used to go to that my friend worked at on Warnell Road, and I told you about it. And I said they scored a goal, like, oh, they're Jamaican me crazy. You remember that place? You ever go there?
I do remember that place.
On Warnell Road?
Yep. I never went there, but I remember
it.
I
did some business. I mean, that was. No.
Did you?
Nope. No, sir. Didn't go there any more than 20 or 30 times a month. Yeah. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the show a little bit later. Nate's going to share some more fun anecdotes about the Jamaican national team with us. But right now, we have Stan Weber, who's ready to roll. Stan,
I just wanted to show what Nate was talking about.
Yeah, show people, everyone, what... Yeah, a lot of times people have no idea what Nate's talking about.
I don't know where the camera is right now.
Right there.
Am I looking in the right direction?
Yep, right there.
This is the offense for Stanford.
You go too deep on every position, pretty much?
I don't need to play. Here's four.
Oh, you got four.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you don't... Everyone who's going to play, I put down, I try to play, and there's my Stanford defense.
Any fun anecdotes on there about Stanford?
We did not talk before this, right?
Right.
So this is so organic. These guys have 12 different players whose dads played in the NFL.
Oh.
I thought he was going to say 12 different players who have been shot in the face. No, I was like, wow.
That actually is a fun anecdote,
yeah,
Stan.
That's good. So 12 that played in the NFL.
I look forward to hearing that.
Wow.
No, I mean, I'll tell you a couple of them.
Yeah,
they're very
noteworthy.
Miles Hinton's dad.
Chris Hinton?
Was Chris Hinton.
Hell of an offensive lineman.
Okay.
Was he in the... Elway trade?
Okay.
Let me see.
How about Jake Lynch?
John Lynch?
John Lynch just went into the Hall of Fame. He plays on the football team.
That makes sense. John Lynch is in the...
He played at Stanford.
Yeah.
How about Gabe Reed? Why would Gabe Reed matter? Gabe Reed's father, Spencer, played football in the NFL, but before that he played at BYU. He went on a two-year LDS mission, did Gabe, before he went to play for Stanford.
Oh, so he's one of those old men that's playing in college.
No, he's the nephew of Andy Reed.
Wow.
I had no idea Andy Reed had a nephew playing Division I football right now.
Gabe Reed, he runs around, he wears number 90, does a fine job out there. But almost every guy, this middle linebacker, Ricky Miyason, his dad, William, was only a part of the 1996 Olympics for the Ivory Coast. I mean, if I went here, I could read probably 75% of the players on this board have famous brothers or parents. It's incredible. I think my son Landry, who's going to be down on the field with him, ought to just start taking some autographs. I mean, it is unbelievable.
But none of them shot in the face.
Right.
I don't know about that one.
So my recollection was correct. The Denver Broncos selected Chris Hinton with the fourth overall pick in the 83 NFL draft, making him the first guard and the first offensive lineman taken. The team traded him to the Baltimore Colts, along with quarterback Mark Herman, for the Broncos' first-round pick in the 1984 NFL draft. Well, no, he was the Broncos, and the Broncos' first-round pick, all for the first overall pick in the 83 draft, John Elway. So Chris Hinton was traded for John Elway.
Yeah, but he's an all-pro. He's a superstar. Yeah. But I'm not finished yet. You know who's even a bigger superstar? E.J. Smith, who's going to be playing on the field where his father, Emmett, the all-time leading rusher in NFL history, played for the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
And it just goes on and on. Lucas Ungar, an offensive player. Oh, yeah. His grandfather was a part of the Olympics as well. I mean, it's unbelievable. I spent so much time on this because usually you go, let me just see personal relationships if they matter. And I'm spending all day and night noting these things, and that's not watching tape of the team playing. It's just like, are you kidding me? But I had no idea that Andy Reid's nephew, or I assume it's
his
nephew.
And he's a defensive lineman?
He's an outside linebacker type.
Outside linebacker, okay.
He played some middle linebacker last year. He really runs to the ball. He hustles, he plays. They got a few grown-ups because they've got three or four guys that you'd think of being more like BYU, where they sat out 2 years, went on a mission, and then came back and started playing football at Stanford. Wow. So it's a very mature, old football team, smart, with unbelievable bloodlines. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. When you talk about that, it's I feel like we're seeing more and more of this across sports. Like right now in Major League Baseball, there's these legacy players. Fernando Tatis Jr., Vladimir Guerrero Jr., there's all, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. There's all these juniors out there that are like star players, and you're seeing it there with this list of Stanford players. Your son Landry, you know, is the son of a Division I football player, and your other son Stanton did the same thing. And I wonder, like, obviously the first thing you think of is genetics. Well, their dad must have been a tremendous athlete, and they got some of that athleticism. But I think that an underrated part of it is what was discussed at the dinner table in the Weber house every night when Stanton and Landry were growing up. Like, I feel like they were hearing a very educated football mind talk about football all the time.
Well, it's Patrick Mahomes. You know, I didn't predict Patrick Mahomes was going to dominate in the National Football League, but the first thing I did jump on is he's been around the big time.
Yeah.
He knows how it's to be a star. And right now, he is such a star, he can't walk anywhere without everyone turning their phone on. And how do you deal with that personal side and still go out and perform on the football field? You're a human every waking hour of the day. You know, it all comes in. How do you not get cocky, complacent, tired of it, all those things.
To be a pro, too. He knows what it is to be a professional.
To be consistent every day, to overcome adversity, all the different types of things that you've heard from brilliant sports minds that you've been around in your life. You've passed
it
on
makes
to
a big
kid.
Difference. If you know? Your kids will listen, you can give them a lot of hints. And usually it goes to the word toughness, that things aren't going to go smoothly.
Right.
And when people, when you have that bad time and people jump on you and want to say you can't do it, don't listen to them. Fight through it. Continue to play to the end of the game. Ohio State last night was losing to Minnesota. There were fans in the stands. Fox was there as you guys played a little audio. You know, were they going to get nervous and start worrying about losing and getting upset and ruining a whole year? No. You just got to go back to work, believe in your fundamentals, and also sometimes the mothers help as well. Because, for instance, I got another one for you. Barrett Miller's a starting left guard. Okay, Barrett Miller's dad, but also his mom, Stacy, played basketball at Emporia State in Kansas.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
That's cool.
Only reason why I'm reading some of these, because as you guys talked about it, and plus, you don't get a chance to talk about these in a game. I mean, this will never, they'll never come up. You know, I'm not going to ever talk about Barrett Miller. Maybe I will because he's from Kansas.
Yeah.
Because his parents played at Emporia State. But most of them, you just go, we're never ever going to talk about the right guard. You know?
But the thing is, like, the thing that I think is cool about preparing for a game like this, it's like studying for a semester final where you got a book this big, and only six questions are going to show up on the test. You got to know the whole book. in case Barrett Miller ends up.
I want to go to your classes, by the way, where there are only six questions on the
final. Well, I'm talking, you know, like the essay tests or whatever.
An essay test.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's
so
big time.
You're only going to need
to. Did you go to Stanford, too?
No. I went to Stanford on the cough.
I didn't have to take essay tests. I'll have to say that. Maybe that's why I was a major in accounting.
Yeah. So you do English and history. Yeah. But like in those things, you got to know all the material, but only 5% of it's going to come up. You just don't know which 5%. So something might happen with Miller through the course of the game, and then it's a natural point to say, hey, by the way, did you know? And then it becomes relevant, but
sometimes,
you can't force it.
Yeah, and sometimes it is relevant. Here's one that might come up. A tight end that's played a good amount of time for Stanford, number 88, Tucker Fisk, is actually going to play both ways. He's going to play defense for the first time. You say, well, how does he learn how to play defense? Well, his dad, Jason, was a 12-year NFL pro and a Stanford grad at defensive end. So he's actually going back to where his dad could give him a few hints of here's how you do it. And maybe he's not going to be an NFL tight end, but he may be able to play on defense. So kind of an interesting story there. And he's a pretty smart guy. He learned how to play the guitar, the piano, and the ukulele without any lessons.
Wow.
So he deserves to be at Stanford, I think.
Mm-hmm. We've got Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hey, remind me the talk back button doesn't work. Tell Drake about that one.
You don't have hand signals yet?
Well, I've got a couple of hand signals. Can't use them on TV, though.
Well, you can't do like the New York Mets one, like Jake. No, I don't
the ones,
like this.
The ones that we do can't be on TV. I can tell you that.
But you got to do like a third base coach. You got to be able to just, if you touch the Nike on your Missouri shirt
Nose to chin.
That's right.
But then it could be a fake signal, so no one on TV could watch
indicator
every day.
Is the shoulder, the brush of the left shoulder, and then everything
the indicator
after that.
Means something's coming that's real.
So we had a clip I was going to play yesterday, but we saved it for today from Shane Beamer, the head coach at South Carolina, because, of course, your son Stanton is on the staff down in South Carolina, so I thought this was interesting. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. If people haven't seen this, they have a unique situation right now for their for the game with starting quarterback. They're starting a grad assistant. Play the clip, Jake.
You know, I think it was early on in the summer. I remember Marcus coming up to me and telling me, you do know that Zeb has some eligibility left if we needed it. And I didn't think anything of it. And obviously it was unfortunate that Luke Doty, our quarterback, got hurt. And it wasn't like, oh, my gosh, we need a quarterback because we don't have one. It was honestly early on, we just needed another arm in preseason practice. Most programs are going to have five or six quarterbacks in preseason camp. And at the time we had one in quarantine and we had one hurt, and we literally only had three quarterbacks on our entire program that were out at practice, and we didn't want to try and wear their arms out. So we brought Zeb out, and he's kind of taken the reins from there and done a nice job operating our offense and along with our other quarterbacks.
So he's going to start against Eastern Illinois. He formerly played at Iowa State and North Dakota State. He accepted a spot on Shane Beamer's staff in the offseason. He was helping prepare the quarterbacks for the season, and now he gave up his coaching spot a couple of weeks ago to put on the pads. So I want to make sure, does Stanton have any eligibility left? Is there a chance we could see him suit up?
And how about that?
I don't know. Can
he ask the NCAA for one of those special 6 years?
Maybe.
Because he was there five, redshirted, played four, didn't have that new rule where you can play four games and not have it count against you in a redshirt year. But
special
I do know that Zeb Nowlett, it's such a small world, right? Because Zeb was an up-and-coming, very good quarterback at Iowa State and actually started, played great against Oklahoma in Ames, almost upset them. He was an up-and-coming starter, but ran into a little bit of an issue, you know, not playing perfectly. So they said, well, let's just try this Brock Purdy guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why he didn't stay at Iowa State is because Brock Purdy was so good. So he transfers to North Dakota State, and one of his best friends there is Trey Lance.
Wow.
Trey Lance was the first guy in the whole world to know that he was going to put the uniform on for South Carolina. That's how good of friends he is with Trey Lance, who's now the 49ers quarterback.
Well, you transfer to FCS school and you think, okay, I'm going to play here. And it's like, you're playing behind a better quarterback.
But then they move then they have COVID, you move the football season to spring for FCS, and Trey Lance says, I'm only going to play that one game in the fall. I'm sitting out. So he does get to play quarterback for North Dakota State. They had two different guys do it, a youngster and him. So then he decides, I'm out of here, I'm done, my career's over, and I'm going to be a GA. He was hired as a GA. Stanton was hired as an analyst. You know, these kind of guys work together all the time in the same room, great buds, close to the same age. So he and Zeb are just having a great time, and all of a sudden, Luke Doty gets injured. Don't know how bad the ankle is, but may not be ready for game one. So that's when someone said, I guess Shane Beamer knew it, and said, how about you go out and throw a few? You have some eligibility. So here he goes. Now, what's great is he's not nervous about the coaches yelling at him, and he's not nervous about knowing the playbook, because he was a GA who over the summer has been studying the playbook with the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, the head. You know, these are his buddies sitting in there. So do you think he's scared about, you know, making a wrong check or throwing an interception? He's just going to walk over and say, sorry, guys. And he has nothing to lose and everything to gain. So, but Stanton said he's really a great guy. I've heard him be interviewed. He said, I'm just a country guy, man. I just want to say, let's go hunting. You know, but Stanton said he's really confident, which you need to be.
Yeah.
But he's such a nice guy that he said, well, I'll consider doing it, but I'm not going to do it without asking the whole team. He said, I've been a quarterback long enough. I'm not going to be like a coach and force my way in and say I'm the best option. Not going to happen. So he first had them ask the team, what do you think about Zeb putting a uniform back on?
That's cool. What a cool story that is.
We'll see. He played awful last year at North Dakota State. It must be noted.
Well,
okay. He did not look good.
We'll find out what he does against Eastern Illinois.
You know, they had a 39-game winning streak. Right. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Then they lost. They didn't win a national championship, and he did not. You know, I watched them play, and I go, he's struggling. So hopefully a little time off, a little time in the coaching booth with the guys will make him play better for South Carolina.
We'll be back after this on WHB. Who stayed up and watched the end of the UCF and Boise State game?
I didn't make it to the end. I watched most of it.
Did you see the end, the throw by the quarterback that pretty much ended the game for Boise State?
Where he rolled out to his right?
I didn't see it.
I must have fell asleep. I woke back up and I
just asked you if you saw the end of the game.
Well, I saw the highlight of it.
Oh. Go ahead, Stan.
I watched a lot of it and I knew how it went down, but I didn't see a last desperate throw. So I don't know what happened. I must have fell asleep.
Well, it was so Boise State was driving for the opportunity to score the winning touchdown. And I liked that somebody, Chris Brown from Smart Football.
And this
Football,
is about 12:05 Central Time.
Yes. Chris Brown tweeted, when someone says, hey, that pass Patrick Mahomes just threw wasn't that special, show them this. So this is the Boise State quarterback. They've got the ball inside UCF territory. There's just over 2 minutes left in the game, and it's 36-31 UCF, so Boise State's driving. They score a touchdown, and they probably win it. And he's running. He's rolling out to his right. It looks like he's going to pick up the first down with his legs. Stan, your thoughts as a former court, should he have thrown that pass? How would you describe that?
That
end of the game.
Do not throw the ball back across your body toward the middle of the field when you're on the sideline. That's like a basic rule.
What about in double coverage? Is that that or no? Just fling it up there?
Ball game.
That was third down. That's the point. Like, that's the kind of throw you make. Fourth down, you got no other chance.
Well, the other thing is everyone can't see this, but he's one step from the first down line.
Right. That's
all he does is dive, and he makes the first down and goes out of bounds.
And then
he doesn't get any better than that.
First down, deep in UCF territory with a chance to win the game. I just, you know, I was all wired watching these games last night. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to see, you know, Boise State's going to come back and win the game at the end. And they did not. So, you know, it's not as easy. You know, I just feel like that guy, he's seen Mahomes do it. Look at Jake putting it up there.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, was that a good?
Jake knows I love football, and I think Jake loves football, too.
Is that a good decision, Jake, to throw that ball?
I watched Incarnate Word play Youngstown State all the way to overtime.
Yeah.
Boo to the Penguins.
That's right.
They're a big Western Illinois rival.
Penguins won.
We'll be back after this on WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Stan Weber's in studio talking football with us. Then we'll get the forecast from Gary Lezak. We'll have the first edition of the Border Patrol Blitz at 8:05. Legarius Sneed is going to join us at 8:40. And then Tim Grunhardt at 9:05. All that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.